For those listening to KSBN Money Talk Radio who might be interested in buying physical precious metals for less than what I can pay for them, stay tuned. I have a way you can support this show and secure what I believe is the best price for precious metals on the existing market. In our first commercial break, I will explain this in more detail. And now, let's get on with Reclaiming the Republic. Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. If you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, you can download our podcast and support documents and links. This is an educational, grassroots program designed to restoring the Republic and placing the general government, or what many refer to as the federal government, back into the constitutional framework and scope of the Constitution. Well, so we have a special servant of the people in studio today, and we might hold him hostage, so he may be here for the whole hour. Anyway, the toll-free number, if you choose to call in, it's 844-320-4299. And if you cannot listen to the entire broadcast, this show will be rebroadcasted at 11 o'clock on Saturday before the Whitworth game. Many parts of these shows refer to previous shows, so whenever I use terms like Platonist and so forth, you will need to probably listen to all of these podcasts. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and download these podcasts at your convenience so that you can stay abreast with what I have to say. That way, it'll start helping you connect the dots in understanding what we need to do to reclaim the Republic and initiating Republic review. Councilman Ed Pace will be hosting the following town hall events each week. Every Wednesday at 9 a.m. at McDonald's on University and Sprague. Every Friday, 9 a.m. at Forza Coffee on Sullivan and 4th. And every Saturday, 8 a.m. at Rosar's on University and Sprague. The Republican Coffee Club, which meets at 7 in the morning over on Trent and Hamilton, and all of these locations you can find actually out on the Reclaiming the Republic broadcast, or I should say on its .org website. And so you can get my podcast, and you can also find the locations, addresses, and so forth on these standing events like the Republican Coffee Club. Well, I'm going to be speaking there this Friday at 7 in the morning, so if you have questions regarding Republic Review, then by all means show up. November 3rd, it's Dave Bolognese, and he is the part two on Avista becoming Power One with other topics. And on the 10th, Dave Moore of Wunderwaffe of World War II, the super weapons, will be there to speak and answer questions regarding those who are historian buffs. Again, the details are on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. So Caleb Collier is our guest, and he will be live in the show. And so if you want to call in, the phone lines will be open. And as a matter of fact, I'm begging somebody to call in because I would just like to see the producer and our engineer just go a little bit haywire trying to answer the phone. Anyway, I'm sorry. As I've been talking about, the entertainment industry is simply another monkey dancing for the globalist agenda organ grinder. And it looks like they've completely lost their beat as they finally have been exposed for debauchery and licentiousness. This Weinstein exposure is unraveling the truth and the hypocrisy of the leftist elitist. Remember how I told you they went after Bill Cosby when he began to challenge the leftist agenda? All of a sudden, over a course of time, a few people started coming forward, and who was the champion? Old Gloria Steinem. She's going to get her pound of flesh off of this evil man. Where's Gloria Steinem now? As all of these people are starting to get exposed, not just Harvey, but many others, and it just seems like they don't need to get a pound of flesh. They're ready to just kind of heal and move on. But it's a scorched earth attitude towards anybody who is challenging their agenda. And how dare Bill Cosby do that? So these globalist progressives have bought and sold a lot of our governments, even local government leadership, and they are now working on secondary markets like Spokane. I would not be surprised to see big names from the entertainment industry piped in here if we are successful in getting good constitutional conservatives into these positions, because they're going to go all out to try to take this back because they don't like losing an inch of ground. And as I've said, they're desperate. They don't want to lose the sacred ground that they've gained already, that they've taken from us and through foolery and dubious means. And so to save their winnings, they are going against the conservative anti-establishment movement. Sadly, this is not a position of nobility. The progressives have taken, and the position that they are taking is one of subjugation. And basically, they know what's better for all of us, and that's why we need to be subjugated so that we will live as best that we need to, even though we don't agree with them. They do not care about your endowed rights given to you by your Creator. They will be the ones who determine what your rights can be and what they are, period. The day is coming that exposing the left will be hate speech. And it will be illegal. And California is testing new challenges to speech and these inalienable rights as we speak. Enough said about this. Instead of that, let's start moving on as we start taking back the rights of the sovereign citizens and the rights of the sovereign states. And to give you better evidence of this, if you haven't seen the Trevor Lawton videos that he has just come out regarding the Antifa, who's behind all of this, and this ground movement, and you've probably even heard that on the 4th of November is supposed to be a big revolution where there's blood supposed to be drawn and so forth. And it's the rhetoric is, you know, hyperbole at best, but I just ask you to go check out these videos so that you can start understanding who these people are that are literally working to take away our sovereignty and our state sovereignty. And so, again, this is on my podcast page and on my links page, and you will find out who some of these groups are. And I'll tell you who one of the parasitical groups is. It's SEIU and almost any of these labor unions. If you understand labor unions and if you understand the Labor Party, everywhere in the world, the Labor Party is the Communist Party, except for here. That's the Democratic Party. So anyway, last week I ranted a bit about the progressive agenda. As things continue to play out in this election, you will see how critical this election is. We've seen on video Brianne Beggs cheating in a debate as he was looking at the questions and writing them down for further reference and for him to be ahead of the game, so to speak. Candace Mum has deliberately thrown out false accusations about her opponent, Matthew Howes, and they're basically taking a position. Well, we don't want to comment until we know all the facts. Well, why didn't they take that position before they threw those accusations out? It's trying to do the damage now and then backpedal, and, you know, it's just like what a paper does. When they say something wrong on page one, and when they backpedal all of that, it's back on D17. And so I'm not an advocate for lots of laws, but I would think that if you do the damage on page one, you should do the apology and the clarification on page one as well. Kate Burke has also refused to come on the show when we had Tim Benn in here. And as a matter of fact, with Caleb coming in here today, we also offered the opportunity for his opponent, Brandi Peetz, I believe is the name. And she's too busy to come in, I guess, is the mantra, because that's what I'm hearing from the progressives. They don't want to come in and talk about the Constitution and how it pertains to city government. What is most concerning to me is how people in the Spokane GOP have undermined good constitutional candidates and have endorsed liberal opponents who have been supported by the corrupt labor unions and like SEIU, very specifically SEIU. Do you want your city and local government to be up for sale? It is so simple here in Washington to get the big picture. All you've got to do is go to the PDC website, and then you can literally see for yourself who's buying your candidates. There's one old adage, and it's the truth. He who pays the piper calls the tune. And so who is it that's buying these candidates? When you start seeing these labor unions and organizations, whether it be a local fire union or a national parasite, they're all putting themselves above you, the voter, for government favors. Your world has not come to an end when you vote against big government. As a matter of fact, what will happen as we start getting this big government and these progressives out of their positions, with the encumbrances in your life will start to go away, and your ability to obtain wealth and be able to do better and increase your quality of life and pursuing happiness will actually get better. As a matter of fact, if you look at just from the few things that Trump has done and the rallies that we've been witnessing, it just seems like our life is getting better. So as you can hear, I've got a hard break coming up, so here's the music. So if you would please stay tuned, we'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors. Thank you very much. Okay, so we are back, and we'll be bringing Caleb in here in just a second. But before I do, I kind of wanted to close out this little rant I've had. And again, it was the framers who intended us to live a life unencumbered by government, at least unencumbered by the federal government. The states did have a lot of flexibility in being tyrannical. As a matter of fact, the states, the Bill of Rights never applied to the states. The Bill of Rights only applied to the federal government. So your right to bear arms and all of those things were not encumbered by the states. Those rights were encumbered by the federal, or I should say, the government that was encumbered but was the federal government, not the states. And so that didn't change until the 14th Amendment, where the Bill of Rights then were applied to the states because the freemen were being persecuted, oppressed, and so forth, as all of a sudden they were unable to assemble, have free speech, be able to bear arms, and those types of things. So the prerequisite for the states coming back in was they had to ratify the 14th Amendment, and then they actually had to send military down to ensure that the freemen were being given and granted these rights so that they could, you know, have the opportunity to be on even ground. And the whole history of this really was tragic, and it was the English language is really hard to come up with really good words for this. But had the framers, when they pounded the Constitution out in the very beginning, they actually fought over slavery. And it was August 22nd when they finally made the decision, when Carolina and Georgia came up and said, look, if you guys get rid of slavery, we're out of here, because that's how close it got. And so they made a political compromise to say, okay, we're going to make slavery a state's issue. The federal government is going to be limited in so many things that we can't dictate this. However, that's where they started imposing the three-fifths man rule, because they wanted to make sure that the slave states didn't have the advantage of full representation, but they weren't about to call the blacks at that point in time, or the slaves, not people. So they, you know, they said, you can't have, you know, your bread and eat it too, or you can get your cake and eat it too. I'm sorry, I'm mixing metaphors. But anyway, bottom line is George Mason basically stood up on that day and he said, you know, God can't punish nations and states in heaven, so he will have to punish this nation and these states, you know, for the atrocity of keeping slavery. And he basically at that point predicted the Civil War and the problems that we would have since then. And he was very, very right. Anyway, in the big picture of the local election, if you go back and look at the 2016, last year's presidential election, and you count the conservative votes, and when I say conservative votes, and some people will go, libertarian is not really conservative. Actually, they are. They support the Constitution wholeheartedly. So when you count up the Libertarian, the Constitution Party, and the Republican Party, the total conservative percentage for Spokane County was 56%. The total votes for socialism was 43%. So you had a big gap of basically 13, or almost 14 points separating. The problem is that was a presidential election. That's where you have a high turnout. This election, folks, is not a high turnout election. So we need to make sure that you get your ballots filled in and turned in. Do not think that this is not an important election. This is your government, and this is the thing that's going to impact you the most. Do you like driving up Crestline now? How come they didn't do this road diet to 29th Avenue? Have you noticed that everybody on South Hill is not being affected by this? Why is it that it's only north of Sprague that you're going to be affected? I'm telling you, the progressives are hurting because they know where the majority of the conservatives are in the town. And so, you know, they can't hurt Spokane Valley because it's its own city now. So bottom line, it is very important if you live in these three districts to make sure you vote for those who support the Constitution and want to make sure you can be as productive as you possibly can. That said, let me close on this. I think it was last week, at the early part of the week, McCain basically, when he received his Liberty Medal from Joe Biden, which to me is just a joke. Here's a guy that has never really stood up for individual liberty. The things that he's actually authored and passed, he's tried to basically squelch on liberty. And so he wants to lecture us about spurious nationalism and basically, you know, start touting his globalist agenda. He was just like George Bush Sr. when he signed the accord that basically was the agenda, Agenda 21 and now Agenda 2030. I mean, these are globalist legislative movements that they want to subject and subjugate the United States to, and McCain is a part of it. I was absolutely appalled when he passed the 2014 appropriations for the military to allow the military to detain indefinitely U.S. citizens. I mean, I'm just appalled at the things that this man has done, Mr. Songbird. And if you don't know what I mean by that, please go look that up. This guy is not an advocate or a champion for individual liberty and individual sovereignty. He is a big government man. He's corrupt. And I can't believe Arizona can't get rid of this guy. And so I get really frustrated when I have to deal and talk about people like that, because it's just, you know, they're so good at talking out of both sides of their mouth. And, you know, I think we were completely set up. As a matter of fact, I was watching a video, and I'm going to take one more tangent here. I was watching a video. It was a South Park where they made fun of McCain and basically Obama. After that election, they went in the back room, they high-fived each other, and they said, "Boy, we fooled them all, didn't we?" The most interesting and funniest thing I've heard, and you may want to check this out, is that there's a group out there that is asserting President Obama is homosexual, that Michelle Obama is transgendered, and their daughters aren't theirs. Anyway, I'm just going to throw that out there because you can actually go out there and find that. I'm starting to see this taking traction, and I've got to do the due diligence before I choose one way or another whether there's some validity to this or not. But I just find it interesting that, you know, these types of things will continue to come up. And I don't know. I'm sure that it'll happen with, because it's happened with Bush, and I'm sure it'll happen with Trump. But anyway, let me welcome my guest, Caleb Collier. You're now in the studio with us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
I'm sorry about all the rants and so forth and holding you up and coming in here. But my biggest question that I always ask every caller, guest, and what have you is, now you've read Republic Review and the executive summary, I should say. And, for the listeners who haven't heard this before, my executive summary is basically an abstract of my first book. And it's the basic thesis that the states based on the contract, the Constitution being a contract, has the authority to audit that contract, just as Madison and Jefferson audited that contract in 1798 and 99 with the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. And so I'm basically saying, well, why are we doing that? Why are we not, you know, auditing the Constitution, getting all the states together and saying you can't do this? So anyway, you've read that. And so how do you feel about that? What's your feelings?
I think it has merit, to be honest. I mean, this is something that I think most people can truly understand when you put it in those terms, the contract, when you look at a contract. So most people have contracts at their house, you know, whether it be their cell phone contract, their cable, or whatnot. And so if you are not getting the, you know, what's been guaranteed you through your contract, then it absolutely makes sense for you to, you know, call up your cable company, call up your cell phone provider and say, hey, you promised me this, you're not providing it, you're in breach of contract, we need to revisit this.
Yeah, and actually there is a good metaphor I'll give you regarding the contract and how people will jump out of their seats quickly as soon as we come back from this break. As you can hear, we've got the music in my ear, so folks, we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors, so please stay tuned. Okay, so we are back and we have Caleb still here. And yes, we're holding him hostage, so he'll be here till the end of the show if you have a cantankering to call and give him a piece of your mind. But anywho, as we went to break, we were talking about this contract. And I think that most people, you know, there's your phone contracts and everything else. But I think most people, unless you are a slave to the state where you're on welfare and those types of things, then you really don't have a labor contract. But most people that do have jobs has a labor contract. And I'm absolutely amazed that very few people really know what their labor contract states. And most people in their labor contract states that they are going to be paid a certain amount in equivalent to U.S. dollars. It doesn't say that they are going to pay you in currency. Does your contract say they'll pay you in currency?
It does not.
No, it does not. So what an employer could literally do if you really wanted to upset your employees is you could, let's say you live in the wheat basket, because wheat's actually a commodity that is, it actually has a value at a bushel, where you can say, you know what, instead of paying you in dollars, I'm going to pay you in wheat. Or pine cones, if we made pine cones a commodity and we had an abundance of pine cones or tomatoes or whatever that thing is.
Or fiat currency.
That's true, because what we do have is a fiat currency, because they just print and print and print. But the fact is, would you be very happy with your employer if all of a sudden they said, you know what, we're no longer going to be paying you in U.S. currency, we're going to pay you in wheat or whatever that commodity is. Now, most people would love it if their employer was paying them in gold, especially if it was going into a savings or what have you. But I don't think most people, especially if gold was going up in value, they would say, you know what, I will bite the cost that it takes me to translate that from gold to U.S. dollars or currency. But still, most labor contracts state that you're going to be paid a certain value, a certain salary, or a certain wage of compensation, which equates to dollars, but it doesn't say anywhere in there that they are going to actually pay you in hard currency. Most contracts don't. They just, you know, think that, you know, well, yeah, of course it's going to be currency. You know, it's just like the Federalists, when they were writing the Constitution, they were asked, why didn't you say that this is a Christian nation? And John Jay's response in Federalist Paper number 2 was, we didn't feel it was necessary to state the obvious, that we're writing on paper, that we're, you know, all of the same race that, you know, migrated from Britain, that we are all basically Christians. I mean, there's all sorts of obvious things that they didn't feel was necessary to state. And so anyway, so you believe, back to you, you believe it's one of those great things that we can actually start exercising. The big problem that I have is getting people in the political sphere's attention to actually start recognizing this. And so the reason this is important for you as a city councilman and as you get reelected to the city council, you are enticed and I think leveraged with federal funding that comes in to say, hey, we'll give you this grant. If you apply for this grant, there's these strings and we're going to create these regulations that you have to do these things, kind of like these road diets. There were the grants that the city of Spokane got that they were tied to very specific things they had to do. And so are you willing to start looking and examining and challenging the constitutionality of this money that's coming in? And does this change your paradigm?
Well, it certainly does. I mean, as a city councilman, you're right. We are constantly, subjected to these grants, and there is always strings attached. You're correct with that. And one of the big ones that we're always seeing is, you know, these road diets, these bicycle lanes and sidewalks. I remember actually when I first got on the council, we were presented with a road diet, or I was presented with a road diet almost immediately. And thankfully, I had EMS in my background. I had 6.5 years doing EMS. But the road diet that they were talking about, they wanted to road diet the street right in front of our hospital. And so I questioned it immediately. How does this make sense to reduce the amounts of lanes of traffic for EMS, especially for ambulances and fire trucks that are trying to get through here? And they saw no problem with it, but thankfully there was enough conservatives that were now on the council with my appointment and with two other appointments that we were able to say, you know what, this is not a good solution for Spokane Valley. And you haven't seen road diets come out of Spokane Valley since then.
Right. And so it would have been tragic to know that maybe one or how many people a year may not have made it because of backup of traffic and having to be transported into that hospital that they I'll use the word perished in the back of an ambulance. That would have just been absolutely tragic. And those are the type of statistics that quickly and easily get buried with the unfortunate victim of this type of regulation.
Well, and you brought up something a little bit earlier. The South Hill is not you're not seeing any of these issues. You talked about that all these road diets are occurring north of Sprague.
Right.
That's just such an elitist mentality right there, is that they have their little enclave, their little area that they're going to be secure in, and then they put out their ideas on the common folk, you know, the people that they that are basically their subjects.
Right.
And so that's what we're seeing. That's why we're seeing the Crestline. And I've seen pictures of that now. Crestline is a mess now.
Yep.
And you really don't think Monroe is going to be the same exact way, but they're going to be up on their hill. They're going to be safe. They're not going to have to worry about the traffic.
And the majority of the people that this will, the majority of the people that this will really affect are those who live north, north side of town, Deer Park, anybody traveling in, because now they have to compete with everybody that's within the city that had full arterial access. Now they're being encumbered because the federal government's strings. And by the way, folks, if you don't know, the city may get this money and they have to follow these strings, because if they do not go to the T of every single one of these requirements that comes with these grants, then they can be sued. And there are progressive lawyers and people throughout this country that are making millions of dollars. I just heard about last week where there was a grant that came through. The city that used it, I think it was over in New York, didn't follow it to the T. They were sued, and it cost them $60 million, and this lady won because she knew that they didn't follow the records. And that could be easily one of these progressives that may be sitting or associated to the people sitting and going, yeah, we're not going to follow this. And hey, if you sue, they're kind of dubious. And could it happen? Absolutely. People collude all the time. The word conspiracy actually exists, and that's why it is in your dictionary, because people do conspire, whether it's parents conspiring to, you know, pull a good prank on their kids, or whether it is really nefarious people trying to conspire to, you know, do damage, harm, or take your money or what have you. So Anyway, that's refreshing.
Yeah. Well, you also brought up that they're really trying to punish conservatives.
Sure.
And you also brought up that Spokane Valley is relatively safe from that.
Yep.
Well, we are, but we're also facing election.
Yep.
So there's five of us that are all currently running to retain our seats.
Correct.
And we have five progressive challengers, and they get so enraged when we call them out for being progressives, but they are. You know, call a spade, why not? Let's be straightforward. That's what people appreciate. People are tired of politicians who don't say what they mean, so I'm going to say what I mean. I have a progressive challenger. If she doesn't like that, then she can come on the show. She can address the fact that she's not a progressive.
Yeah, and I noticed in the PDC that she actually received money from the SEIU. And so please go look at this video of how SEIU is responsible for the training and the organizing of Antifa in Portland and some of these other places. Folks, you know, this is what we're dealing with, and they're trying to buy influence so that these people can have a presence and a back ear and a back door to your city governments and your county commissioners. And so that's why it is critical that we stop this and stop this madness.
Well, I really take issue with the fact that my opponent wouldn't come on this show. So all you wanted us to do when you came on this when we come on the show is talk about the Constitution, right?
Yep.
Our rule of law. Why would anybody want to run and hide from our rule of law? And if you don't understand our rule of law, well then I get that. Why you wouldn't want to talk about it, because you don't want to, you know, show the people that you really shouldn't be in a position of power. I am more than willing to talk about our Constitution, because it's something that I study, that I really have taken a number of years to look at to try to understand. And it's really not all that hard when you really get into it. But she's hiding from our rule of law, and I believe you told me this, GR, a number of months ago, that all one has to do is use the Constitution as a shield and a sword.
Yep.
And that you'll be okay. See, look, I listen when you talk.
If we use the Constitution as our shield and our weapons, then we will win every battle that we go into. Yes, and that was right after one of your debates, I think at Center Place or wherever that was. So again, I hear some more music. Did 10 minutes go by so fast? Well, I guess it did. So folks, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. So please stay tuned and please consider supporting these sponsors. Thank you. Okay, so we are back with Caleb, and as we were just going into break, you were making the comment how I had talked, and it's been my rally cry, actually, for quite a while, of using the Constitution in a political forum for both a weapon and a shield mechanism. Because when progressives or communists or whatever you want to call them, people that have no awareness of the Constitution, they come along and go, hey, well, you know, hey, if we could just do this, if we nationalized food, and then we could actually, you know, help feed people and not have to have all of these food banks and stuff. People could just go to the grocery and get their free food. Well, the problem with that is the Constitution doesn't have an allowance for that. The Constitution doesn't have an allowance for health care. It doesn't have an allowance for Department of Energy, education. There's 12 executive departments that are violations of the Constitution. And so when people don't understand that, then you can't plead that, oh, well, you know, we can do this because the Constitution grants us. No, you're pleading to basically buying votes and subjugating or enslaving people. The best thing a politician can do is reduce the amount of influence that you have in people's lives so that people can feel free to do the things that they want to. That pursuit of happiness is really big with me.
Absolutely. You and I are Christians. Yep. I know that about you. And so I would argue that the most Christian form of government is a limited government. We also recognize that sin is rather beautiful to us, right? We want to hold that. We want to grab that apple, right? And so a progressive system of government is tasty to us, you know. It's appealing to our sinful nature. And so when a politician goes and promises free food, free whatever, it's, you know, that's something that we desire. And so it pulls people in, and that's what gets them the votes. And they play that long game very, very well, because they've been ruling against the Constitution for years and years and years now. And this is how we've gotten to the place that we're at. And now, gosh, almost half this country would welcome a socialized government.
Right. So the interesting thing is, if you read the 16th Amendment, which gave the government the ability to direct tax, show me in the 16th Amendment where it gave the government the ability to spend money any way it wants to. It doesn't.
It does not. Although I'd like to see it repealed, the 16th Amendment, personally.
And you know what? Because if we actually, if you look at the outlays of what the federal government spends its money on, 80% is unconstitutional. The amount of the money that they spend on the Defense Department may be a lot, but it's nothing compared to Social Security and all of these unconstitutional powers, roles, and responsibilities that they've usurped. And so if you took away 80% and you understand that they're right now, I think, in a deficit of $1 or $2 trillion. So in other words, I think they bring in somewhere between $2 and $4 trillion. And if they reduce that to 80%, the money that they would bring in would actually pay down the debt, not just pay down the servicing of the debt, but significantly pay down the debt very quickly. And so it would be a little bit of time there. But, you know, pushing all of these things back out to the states, because the states are already taxing and doing these same things. But I think the states would take a far more fiscal responsibility approach in understanding that we just can't, give. It's one thing to get somebody to become self-sufficient, but it's completely different. And that's the Christian thing to do, is to help somebody be able to produce for themselves and to be self-reliant. It's wrong to keep them dependent upon you. And that's how you're buying votes. And that's unethical, it's corrupt, and what these politicians are doing when they're using the public purse is literally corruption.
Yeah, and they've known this. They've understood this for a very long time. They've understood that the best way to subjugate the people is through entitlements. You go back to Andrew Jackson and what he did to the free Indian tribes, taking their land and putting them on the reservation, and then controlling them.
Right, but none of that was within the Constitution. Even Andrew Jackson violated the Constitution. And actually, those people were free members of society. I believe in the South, the Cherokees were the first ones to have a printed paper in the land down there. And so they were very enlightened. And the reason Andrew Jackson was, dragged into this and used his thuggery was because the whites down there, we're having a hard time competing. And so they went to him and said, hey, this isn't right. This is our land. It's not theirs. And in going down that path, they basically undid all of the good that Jefferson and Washington had done, because they were actually assimilating and the Indians were becoming a part of our culture. And what they did was they separated them from our culture. And all of that was unconstitutional. They should never have done that. It was tantamount to basically, accepting that the states were, slavery was going to be a state's issue. However, the federal government did, with the Trail of Tears and other things, it applied oppressive measures that, it's just, you can't unring that bell, but we've got to stop that bell from ringing. It's still resonating to this day.
They're continuing with that model. This is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. So they're continuing this model that was started with Andrew Jackson, and they're putting us on the entitlements. They're keeping us entertained with the bread and circus.
Right.
So nobody's really watching what they're doing as long as they're getting their hand out. And slowly and surely, they're taking away every single freedom that we are supposed to treasure.
So I want to go back to the thing I said. He who pays the piper calls the tune. And so that's why this PDC website is very intriguing to me. And that's why I don't understand, why is it that Brandy and all the progressives seem to be making more money in their contributions than their conservative counterparts? What's going on? Why is all this money pouring in?
I think it's rather obvious why the money's coming in. There's obviously a plan to take this region and turn it progressive. You know, Seattle has long looked at the east side of the state as sort of the bane of their existence. You know, they don't like the fact that over here we're more conservative, we're more self-sufficient. They've done a lot of inroads in Spokane, obviously. And now you have the 10th largest city in Washington State, Spokane Valley, ran by 7 conservatives, and they don't like that. And so they want to come in, they want to change things. If they could unseat all of us, they'd have a whole new direction for the entire city. And once again, you'd have, the council members that we currently have in Spokane Valley are willing to stand up for your rights, for your individual rights. And we do so and we get attacked, but that's our job. As public servants, we are supposed to stand in opposition to tyrannical government.
I would love to see somebody come up with a petition. As a matter of fact, Tom DeWeese last week in his presentation over the Agenda 21 had a petition that city councilman, he basically asked, and again, from what I'm saying, they're coming after me right now. as I don't know what's going on, but I pray that whoever is being affected is not having to go up some road diet to get to the hospital. Indeed. Anyway, he says he had a petition that he would love to see city councilmen that basically say they will do everything in their power to ensure that your property rights are protected, to ensure your inalienable rights are protected. And so, and he has these 3 steps and so forth. I would love to see that petition cycled around so that we can actually use this, not necessarily as leverage, but to understand where a councilman is going to stand or a commissioner is going to stand. Will you sign this petition? Because I am confident that you will not find a progressive that's willing to sign this. And so I'm asking Tom if I can get a copy of that so we can get it out, put it up on Facebook, and ask our councilmen or the candidates to print it out, sign it, and then put it back up on Facebook that, yes, here I'm willing to go to to do my job and go to bat for you, the voter, and protect your individual rights and your individual sovereignty to ensure that your property rights won't be taken from you.
I'd be the first person to sign that, and I would proudly proclaim that on Facebook, even though I don't really like Facebook. But I would definitely throw that out there, because in reality, I'm not a career politician. I'm here because I believe in our original documents. I believe in the Bill of Rights. I believe in our Constitution, and I'm going to stand for your individual rights. And if that's not a popular position, if that ends up getting me kicked out of office, then so be it. I did my part. I stood in opposition, and I'll be home a little bit more. My wife will love that.
There we go. Folks, I'm telling you right now that your local government officials, your city council, your county commissioners, these are the people that can ramrod bad laws and bad decisions down your throat that will affect you for years and make you feel pain. It's not until this Crestline debacle has really unsurfaced where you're going, we have to do this to Monroe and we have to do this to another street. I would be calling and I would be down at your city council meetings every week and demand that they stop, send that money back, because we don't want this. Well, that's the end of this show, as I can hear the music in my ear that it's coming up to the end. And so please stay tuned next week. We'll hopefully have another candidate on here and we will be able to get you the issues. God bless and help us save the Republic.